Now that international economic and political sanctions have failed to stop the Iranian nuclear project, which all know is geared to the production of atomic weapons, two courses are open. One, to attack and destroy the Iranian nuclear facilities in order to stymie the project, or two, to resign oneself to a nuclear-armed Iran and to deter it from using its new weapons with the threat of nuclear retribution. Let me first look at this second course, the way of deterrence. The well-known American newspaper columnist Charles Krauthammer has recently argued that given the failure of the Western containment strategy, a nuclear Iran is merely a matter of time, be it in 2009, 2011, or 2013. He accepts that the target of the Iranian nuclear project is Israel, and that the Iranian regime, headed by Ahmadinejad, seeks to destroy Israel. They aim for a second Holocaust. In order to deter Iran from attacking Israel, he argues, what is required is an explicit American guarantee extending the U.S. nuclear umbrella to cover the Jewish state. President Bush must publicly announce that anyone who assaults Israel with nuclear weapons will immediately and automatically be obliterated by the American nuclear arsenal. Krauthammer believes that this will suffice to stay Iran's hand. Hillary Clinton, incidentally, has recently echoed this type of thinking. This proposal is problematic on a number of levels. Firstly, how can one ever guarantee a guarantee? How can one be sure that a guarantee made by Bush or even the U.S. Congress will be honored by an American president or Congress 3 years hence? Indeed, from the American perspective, if Iran decided to call the American bluff and nuke Israel, what would be the point of an American assault on Iran? It would not bring back the Jewish state, it would not bring back to life the Jewish state, and it would involve the slaughter of tens of millions of Iranians, most of them innocent, and the lasting hatred of the world's 1 billion Muslims. Would a president, Obama or Clinton, for example, actually press the button in such circumstances? Without doubt, Iranians have thought all this through and most likely have dismissed this American threat as highly unlikely. Secondly, it is quite possible that among Iran's leaders, and this probably includes Ahmadinejad and other true believers, there are those who believe, A, that Allah will protect Iran, and B, that sacrificing Iran for Islam's greater good, that means to destroy the hated enemy, Israel or the Jews, is worth the candle. Without Iran, Islam and the Islamic world will survive. Without Israel, Judaism and the Jews might well not. The principle of self-sacrifice is deeply embedded in the psyche of Messianic Islam. Thirdly, the Iranians may believe that their mere possession of nuclear weaponry, with the missiles to deliver the bombs, will suffice to turn them into the Middle East's hegemonic power and overawe Israel into gradual decline and disappearance. Nuclear weapons in the hands of Iran will radicalize the whole Middle East. How long will the Israeli-Egyptian and Israeli-Jordanian peace treaties survive under the shadow of Iranian nuclear power? What Arab, indeed, what Palestinian will make peace with Israel once assured of the backing of Iranian nuclear weapons? Will Oman and Qatar make peace? Will the Saudi peace initiative remain on the table? And how will Israel fare in the shadow of an Iranian nuclear arsenal, which an Iranian leader could unleash whenever it suited his purposes? Will foreign tourists continue to visit Israel? Will foreign investors continue to build plants in Israel? And will Israel's own rich, or will they move their money out of the country, out of harm's way? And will Israelis fearful of extinction not mob foreign embassies for visas to America and Europe? And what Jew will want to immigrate to Israel in such circumstances? Will Jews and investors really rely on the guarantee of the American or Israeli nuclear umbrella to deter the Iranians? Iran's leaders are not the cool, hard-headed opportunists who inhabited the Kremlin in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s. The threat of mutually assured destruction probably does not move them. They marched to a different tune, to a rough and beguiling chant that us secular, liberal, humanistic people cannot even hear, to the temptation of jihadist martyrdom and 70 dark-eyed virgins beckoning from the heavenly paradise. In truth, we don't really know what the mad mullahs of Tehran will do, but we cannot take a chance. Realistic leaders in Washington and Jerusalem cannot allow Tehran to have the bomb, and in the coming months or year, must do what is necessary to halt and destroy the Iranian nuclear project. And if this involves a protracted conventional air assault on the Iranian nuclear facilities, then so be it. The Iranians will have brought that assault on their own heads. And if conventional weapons cannot do the job, and if Israel is forced to go the course alone, it is doubtful that its conventional capabilities will be sufficient to destroy the Iranian nuclear project. The non-conventional weaponry will have to be used to stymie the project, and many innocent Iranians will die. But the Iranians will have brought this upon themselves by bringing to power and leaving in power a leadership that will have forced Israel to do what was necessary to survive. It is terrible to contemplate the use of nuclear weapons to prevent others, murderous Iranian leaders, from acquiring nuclear weapons, and it raises agonizing moral questions. But a second Holocaust is an even more horrific prospect to contemplate. I do not realistically expect Europe to lead the way in neutralizing the Iranian nuclear project. But it is important that Europe back those countries that will in the end be forced to do what may be necessary. Indeed, such support may be a precondition for American and/or Israeli action.
That was pointing things out in very stark terms. It's good we've laid out the alternatives on the table. Short of that, there are still things we can do or could refrain from doing, and I think Matthias Künzel will be able to tell us quite a lot about that, and he'll be talking in German.
Yes, since I think we have such a great translating service that I don't need to talk in English, and I prepared my paper in German. So please take your phone set and listen to the translation if you can't understand me now.